News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, Copper, I've seen the phones ringing. What we got going on? Are people calling in, making statements, or just calling in and then hanging up? What's going on there?
Yeah, he didn't stay on. He actually had just a quick comment, and then he went.
What's the comment? Anything worth sharing right now, or just relate to what we're talking about?
Oh, it was actually about an abortion issue.
Okay.
He said that men should be raising other men to take responsibility for their partners and their children.
I do not disagree.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. Folks, listen, triple dipper for the day. I said we're on Russia watch at first. Let me lay the groundwork for this. All right. There's things happening around the world right now. You know, in my monologue there a few minutes ago, I alluded to the fact that, yes, the Russia-U.S. discussions today regarding Ukraine are key. They're probably the central figure for the moment in foreign policy in terms of being on the front burner. Not to say that China's not to say that North Korea's not to say that South America's not to say that, you know, our relations with Venezuela are not to say that, you know, how we stand with our European allies is not. What I'm saying is, in terms of its immediate impact, yeah, we got big doings going on in Ukraine, and I cannot stress this enough. Let me give you quickly. Just let me give you some perspective here, because right now, literally, here's a piece that was published in a periodical called 1945. The headline is: Will Russia invade Ukraine next month? That's the headline. Will Russia invade Ukraine? And according to this particular piece of intelligence, it says that it is being reported by the Washington Post that U.S. intelligence community estimates say that there are close to 70,000 Russian troops currently divided into 100 tactical task forces in the border regions on the east side of Ukraine. Currently, approximately 50 of those units have been deployed into four locations opposite of Ukraine. The numbers U.S. officials believe could rise to potentially 175,000 troops very soon. Kiev in Ukraine, their own estimates said most recently that they believe that Moscow had deployed 90,000 troops, 1,200 tanks, 2,900 armored personnel carriers, 1,600 pieces of field artillery, 330 fighter, bomber, and attack jets, 240 helicopters, and 81 surface warships and submarines. Folks, if that's not a war footing, I don't know what is. Now, around the world, the things you have to recognize that are happening, the other players that are watching this, number one, well, China's watching how things are going. All right, here's an article by Red State. All right, so Nick Arama from Red State's writing as of yesterday. He says, you know, of course, you know, the Beijing Olympics are coming up. In fact, a lot of people believe that the Chinese want to get the Beijing Olympics out of the way before anything big on the world stage happens. So we'll see. But the White House announced a, quote, diplomatic boycott of the Winter Olympics. Well, that'll stick it to them. So basically, the Biden administration is not going to send any diplomatic officials to the Beijing 2022 Winter Olympics. Well, you know, China, you know, on one article I've got here on CNN, CNN plays it off like, well, now China's really mad now. China's mad. CNN, what do they know? But the reality is, I think Red State called it better, that China's, you talk about two polar opposite headlines. CNN says, China now threatens the U.S. with retaliation over the diplomatic boycott. Whereas Red State says, China takes a victory lap after Biden folds to them like a cheap suit. I mean, but I tend to go with the cheap suit version, because literally what you're looking at here is China, according to Red State. By the way, Red State is not just saying we think. Red State is quoting the Global Times, which is mocking the Biden announcement. And basically they're saying this is a nothing burger. So there's the way we're handling China's malfeasance on the world stage and their violations of human rights. Well, we just won't send any diplomats for you to have to entertain and deal with and give hotel rooms to. We just won't send them over there. That'll show them. Meanwhile, hotair.com. Hotair.com has put out a story as of 2 days ago. 2 days? Yeah, 2 days ago. The title of it is, The Predictable Results of the Iran Talks Have Leaked Out. So what they're saying here is, the Iran nuclear discussions, which are being slow-walked by Iran right now, that the Biden administration has apparently caved to the demands of Iran and waived some of the sanctions that were currently imposed on them in a bid to try and get the Geneva talks going and to restart the Iran deal that the Obama-Biden administration originally had done in 2015. What an awful opportunity here to do something really screwy again. All right, so that was supposed to be the carrot and the stick, the sanctions. Well, they've already waived them, according to this report. And I'm telling you, Russia is watching this. Oh, Russia says, they don't like things, so they do not send their diplomats. That is not a problem. Oh, they do not like things, so they waive sanctions trying to engage talks. Well, you're giving away your stick. Meanwhile, things that are happening that are not getting much reporting. Where did I get this story from? I think I pulled this off of Yahoo News. Yeah. Israel is playing coy over a huge explosion at Iran's Natanz nuclear site. A huge explosion shook Iran's main enrichment facility at the Natanz nuclear site on Saturday. The Islamic regime has confirmed in what Tehran claims was just part of a military drill. Nothing to see here. In fact, spokesman for the Iranian army said the blast, which was felt 12 miles away, was just part of a routine missile test. So you're doing missile tests right next to your nuclear facility. So big you can feel them 12 miles away. He literally says, an hour ago, one of our missile systems in the region was tested to assess the state of our readiness on the ground. There is nothing to fear. Yeah, okay. Meanwhile, there were sub reports that actually a drone was in the air that was seen, and it's believed that Israel conducted a strike. So I go back to the article from 1945. No, not the year, the article from the periodical 1945. Will Russia invade Ukraine? Well, let me tell you what's going on here. So one of the issues before the entire situation is not just that Russia is headed up by a former KGB agent named Vladimir Putin, a man who misses the days of the Soviet Union, who has said that the fall of the Soviet Union was one of the greatest tragedies on the world stage that he had ever seen. That's the leader of Russia. Somebody who's makes it his pride and joy to try and outwit and backstab on the world stage so that he can walk into victory as opposed to having to slug his way into it. Well, Vladimir Putin is mad because when the Soviet Union fell, the Soviets believe that they had some form of an agreement. I don't recall that it was in writing, but they had some sort of agreement, an agreed upon understanding that NATO would not expand into Eastern Europe. Well, if America made that commitment, an article in townhall.com points it out. If America made that commitment, well, it sure did get broken. Because in the 20 years, within 20 years, NATO had brought in every former Warsaw Pact nation into the alliance, along with former Soviet republics of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. And I'm just telling you, folks, we definitely grew NATO. Well, the question right now is NATO going to extend membership to Ukraine, which sits on the border of Russia? Mother Russia. I'm talking the homeland. Now, I'm not sympathizing with Russia whatsoever, but I do recall that we had real issues with the Soviet Union trying to put missiles in Cuba. Well, they don't want that level of what they perceive as threat on their western border. They don't want a NATO Ukraine. They don't want it at all, because the NATO alliances have a we will defend policy. Attack on one member is an attack on all. And the last thing that Russia wants is a desire to annex additional lands in Crimea or into a part of Ukraine to suddenly be thwarted by the idea that Ukraine is a NATO ally. Well, so the question becomes, what was said today? I don't know for a fact what was said in the meeting. I've not had a chance to catch the news. It was still going while I was literally coming on the air. But I'm just telling you, I do not think that Biden is the right person to try and lead us through these talks, because his history has been one of appeasement. His history has been one not of detente, but of hoping to contain through appeasement. And you cannot contain actors like Vladimir Putin and President Xi. You cannot contain them through just mere appeasement. You cannot look at them and say, well, I'll give you this if you'll please be good. It doesn't work that way with these people. Not in the least. History will tell you it doesn't. I mean, just under the Biden-Obama administration a few years ago, a third of Ukraine was annexed without anybody saying boo about it when they took the Crimean Peninsula. And now we're looking at hundreds of thousands of Russian troops massing on the border of Ukraine. An international debacle that follows in the wake of him watching the way we allowed service members to die and Americans to be abandoned in Afghanistan. Watching in the wake of what he did during the previous administration he served in with Obama. Watching in the wake of his ability or inability to work with Iran and trying to appease them by lifting sanctions and losing his leverage in order to please give me something good that I can use in my State of the Union address. That's where we are right now. And I'm concerned. I'm very concerned. Well, listen, we're going to run to a short break right now. When we get back, I'll wrap that segment up. But I'm just telling you, people, you got to watch. Because the things that are happening on the world stage with China and Taiwan, with North Korea and their what's considered to be one of the worst famines they've ever had, with Eastern Europe becoming so dependent, Europe becoming so dependent upon gas and energy from Russia that they won't ever intervene. It's leaving it all in the hands of the United States and the guy in charge. We can read his book. We know where he's been. People in Benghazi, remember? All right, folks. Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, Copper, I'm going to use clip one here in just a minute, if you would go ahead and get that one ready. But folks, I got to tell you about Otter Creek Farm real quick. Otter Creek Farm, what a cool place. Now listen, I'm just telling you, it's a wing shooting destination. If you like to hunt pheasant and quail, it is by far one of the best in the entire Southeast United States. People come from all over. Donald Trump Jr. hunted there recently. But it's not just that. I mean, the facilities are so amazing that you can hold a corporate retreat there. You can plan a wedding and do everything there from the wedding itself to the reception afterwards. And their culinary staff, their chefs, are bar none. They're just great. I'm just telling you, this place is so cool. You've got to check it out. Go look at their website, OtterCreekFarmstead.com. That's OtterCreekFarmstead.com, and you will realize quickly why it has been featured in Garden and Gun magazine and why I say over and over again, it's like an oasis in North Alabama. OtterCreekFarmstead.com. Well, listen, so wrapping up this section on Russia Watch, I can't downplay this enough. And I guess I would say that I'm somewhat hawkish, but I am not by any stretch looking for a fight. Not by any stretch. As someone who's been to war, I'm not a big fan of having to send people back. But I've got a son who's in the military now. I don't engage the notion that we need to be looking for the next fight, but we have to be ready for the next fight. And right now, I'm concerned about the level of readiness that we're seeing, and I'm concerned about what I'm seeing on the world stage. And I'm also concerned about the possibilities that China and Russia are colluding in the background. Because if China moves on Taiwan and Russia moves on Ukraine at the same time, I have no confidence in the Biden administration's ability to handle that. That being said, Representative Michael Waltz, a congressman who spent many years in the military as a Green Beret, he's got good commentary on this. And Copper, I tell you what, let's just skip right to it. Go to clip one.
Stuart, I was just out at the Reagan Library for the annual defense forum, and it was a great reminder that now is the time for strength, now is the time for clarity, and now is the time to be crystal clear about what cost we in the West will impose on Putin if he does this. This will be the largest land invasion in Europe since World War II. If he moves forward with what we're seeing. And it's no surprise, Stuart, that this is happening in the wake of Afghanistan, and it's happening in the middle of winter now that Nord Stream 2 is coming online. Putin can starve Ukraine and Eastern Europe by turning off that pipeline, and it could hold Germany and Western Europe hostage by the Nord Stream 2 pipeline we've allowed to come online. And why does this matter to everyday Americans? Well, the Iranians, the Chinese, the North Koreans, the world is watching. Yeah. And if we let this slide, Biden will be the next Neville Chamberlain. And that's dangerous for the world. You know, Stuart, I was just...
So, yeah, you heard it. I mean, that's pretty much in line with the comments that I've been making, is that all of the bad actors in the world are watching this one. All of the bad actors in the world watched Afghanistan, and all of the bad actors in the world are now watching this situation in Ukraine. Why would they not? It's like I said before. It's like when George Patton read Rommel's book. They see the way that tactics and strategy work in the mind of the individual who's in charge, and they recognize that it will probably bleed over into their situation. So why would they not? They're watching very closely. They're assessing, analyzing, and interpreting on a daily basis the things that are said, the things that are done, and the things that are not done. And I'm just telling you, we're in a precarious position right now. I've got another clip, and I tell you what, I think I will use it. I wasn't going to, but I think I'll use it. Copper, go ahead and get clip two ready. Clip two is General Keith Kellogg. So some of the people that I respect the most, I appreciate hearing Congressman Waltz, I appreciate hearing General Jack Keane, and I really like Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, who served not only a career in the military, retired as a three-star, but he was a senior security advisor, a national security advisor to Vice President Pence. His comments are pretty telling. About a minute and a half here. Copper, go ahead and play clip two.
Former National Security Advisor to President Trump and Vice President Pence, and to Fox News contributor General Keith Kellogg. So there's some sense that Putin may be trying to engage in a game of leverage here, putting all these troops in the border with Ukraine to extract from Biden a promise that Ukraine will never become a NATO nation. What do you think Putin is up to?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he's trying to do. I think his end game is keep Ukraine out of NATO, and this is a way to push it. And I think tomorrow's conversation is going to be so critical, because if Biden needs to ask him that question, what's your red line? And if he says it's Ukraine, then it depends where Biden goes on this. I think if Biden says, I'm not going to give you any guarantees, I think you're seeing Putin is going to take a hunk out of Ukraine. He's going to go in there, because it's not a NATO country, so there's no Article 5 requirement at all by NATO to do it. I think he's playing a strategic game, though. I think he's strategically looking at breaking NATO, and this is his way to do it. By occupying a part of Ukraine, getting no military response, he can withstand an economic response. Mm-hmm. Over 60% of Russia's economy comes out of the European Union, and they're not going to push back on him at all, especially when it comes to the energy part of it, where over 50% of all of Europe depends on Russia for energy.
Germany's going to stop it there, Copper. So, yeah, you hear what I'm saying? That's a half-hour look at what's going on with the dialogues today regarding Russia. Are we playing chess or are we playing checkers? Well, the book, if you read the book, the Biden book on foreign policy, looks a lot more like checkers. Hope not. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Coming right back with my friend Matt Clark from the Center for Law and Liberty with some news on the fight against COVID mandates. We'll be right back.